Good morning to everyone. We certainly have a good crowd out this beautiful Lord's Day morning. We're appreciative of all of our members here, and we also want to acknowledge our visitors and let you know that you're our honored guests, and we appreciate your presence and invite you back on any occasion or opportunity that you have. It's good to see Emily Rader and her boys here with us this morning, and we want you to just know that you're always welcome here, and your presence is an encouragement to all that are present. I'd like to say, along with those that have mentioned the sick, that again, we appreciate the prayers on the behalf of my brother. Talking to Carol on the way to church this morning, his wife, and she was pretty upset because of some things that are going on with Ray. And the doctors told us on the onset that it would be a kind of like a roller coaster, or two steps forward and maybe a step back, or sometimes a step forward and two back. And we certainly found that to be the case, in that it seems like when you get over one hurdle, there's something else that comes along. At this point, we're thankful that he's still alive, and thankful that they have been able to keep him alive, and have to have an appreciation for that. We pretty much have turned it over to God, and it's going to, whatever his will will be, that's what's going to happen with my brother's situation. I will say, for those of you that don't know Ray, he is a member over at the Fairview Church of Christ, him and his wife both. They were baptized at Hazeldale several years ago. I'm thinking about 20 now. And faithful in their attendance and faithful in their servants to God. And we have that as a consolation. If it's God's will that it's time for him to go home, then we have to accept God's will. And along those lines, that's what my lesson is going to be about for just a few moments this morning, is understanding God's will when it doesn't match up with our will. And sometimes that's really hard for us. And I know that there's other people here that have experienced when we're asking ourselves, why are things the way that they are? And it's easy for us to have carnal thoughts or carnal ideals whenever things happen. Christ has come along in our lives. Someone that we love dearly is hurting or suffering. It's easy for us to ask the question, why is this the way that it is? You know, I even caught myself, I don't care to admit that I caught myself asking why my brother, who was out working every day, he was a very good supporter of his family. He worked hard, done a lot of hard physical work, and he's laying up there fighting for his life. And I know people in our community that wouldn't hit a lick at a snake, that are drug abusers, will steal anything they can get their hands on, and they're still walking around and roaming up and down the roads. And these are the kind of questions that come to us sometimes in these scenarios. It's not necessarily that we're questioning God Almighty. We just kind of question and ponder the way of life. And we have to come around as a Christian. We have to come back around full circle and have a resolve in our mind, or it will drive us crazy, that God's will is going to be accomplished in all situations and in all scenarios in this life. And whenever we can get our hands around that, get our minds around that, then life gets a little bit less stressful, and we realize that God has a plan. And again, his plan is going to be accomplished, and it will be accomplished. And it's a lot of examples in the Bible where we can understand that God's will was kind of asked of people, and people wouldn't do it. And I thought about this comparison. Think about if you have young children, and your children, you're trying to get them to do what it is that they should be doing, and they're fighting against you, they're resisting. Let's say a little Caliber. Now, sometimes he's a handful, as you all have seen and witnessed, and he might have a will to do something that he don't need to be doing, and I might be trying to contain him, and it's a challenge because he's headstrong, and he's got a strong will to do what Caliber wants to do, and it don't really matter what Papa wants him to do. And then bring that over to God dealing with us as his children. Whenever he's got a will that he wants us to do, and we're fighting and we're resisting and we're pulling back, just like Caliber might be pulling the opposite way, the way that I want him to go, we can be that way as God's children and as Christians when God's wanting us to do something, and we're pulling back from that. We're not going to let God's will be inflicted upon us, if you will. Now, you know, Caliber's at an age now, we can contain him. It might take everything that we got. But when Caliber gets a little older, as you all have, that have raised teenagers, and he gets even a stronger will, a mind of his own, to do those things that he wants to do, we're going to find out that we can't always control that as parents. And when children reach that age to where they have the age of reasoning and questioning why it is that you want them to do something and why it is that they have to do chores around the house, then sometimes there's conflict there because what your will is for that child to be doing and what their will is for them to be doing don't always match, does it? Y'all ever experienced that, any of y'all that raised teenagers? Well, and when you think about that, and I've experienced that, whenever you think about that and then you think about how God wants us to live and conduct ourselves, and maybe we're not doing that, then imagine how he feels, just like we feel as parents sometimes, trying to say, look, this is my will for you. It's not that I want anything bad or that I just want to have jurisdiction over you or that I want to control you, but this is what would be best for you. And they push back from that. That's the same way that God feels when he's trying to tell us what his will is, and we pull back from that, or we don't really want to do his will. And you might say, well, I don't have a problem with that. I'm in worship service this morning, and I don't have a problem with doing the will of God. I think that I understand full well that I've got to do his will. If I'm a Christian and professing to be a child of his, that I've got to do his will. But you can look around you in the world, and you can see all kinds of people that could care less what God's will is. They're doing their will. A lot of them this morning are probably in places other than the house of God worshiping because they don't care what God's will is. They only care what their will is, and that might be down on Lake Cumberland on a houseboat or a fishing boat rather than worshiping God upon the first day of the week. So what I'm trying to drive towards here this morning is we need to have a real good and clear understanding that God's will is always prevalent. He is omnipresent. He's all-knowing. And once we get that in our mind and accept that, then it's a lot easier for us, I think, to go through this life rather than trying to push back from his will, trying to push back or thinking that we know better what should be taking place than he does, and we're kind of in a state of conflict, maybe like sometimes as parents with teenagers, and we don't like that feeling. We feel like God's mad, and we're mad as Christians because we're questioning something that's happened that we would rather not have happened, or maybe it's something that's hurting someone that's near and dear to us. Maybe it's just a question like I presented there a while ago. Why are these things the way that they are? I have to resolve in my mind. I have to resolve in my mind that God has a plan and he has a will. Also, when you think about the meaning of the word will, it signifies objectively that which is willed or of the will of God, in this case this morning. You could think of a will that I might write to fix things so that if something was to happen to me, I was to be in an automobile accident, my life just be taken instantly, or some other type of accident, I would fix a will so that my estate would be settled in a way that I desired for it to be settled. We understand that. And the reason that people fix wills is so that there's no confusion about that in their absence and in their untimely death sometimes. And that's a good thing, and all people should consider that. You should consider having a will. And you think about that, it's just like Christ, while he was up on earth and giving his ministry up on earth, he was constantly preaching and telling his people what his will is. Chris touched on it in our study this morning. If we're Christians, we're trying to follow the will of God. And we understand when we read the Word that that's his will. If we push back from that or pull back from that, then we're just fighting what God's will is. It would be just like if you had three or four siblings and their parents passed away and they all sat around the table to read the will, and somebody in the mix decided that they didn't like the will and they didn't think it was fair, and they caused a big ruckus over it. That oftentimes happens. But it's still the will. It was still the way that the will was fixed. And the will needs to be honored because it was the will of the person who left it. Can we get that with God whenever we read the Scriptures and understand how important it is that it is his will and he desires us to keep his will? Matthew 18:14 is just one little example, and there's a lot of them that we wouldn't have time to cover this morning. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And the ideal there is, it's God's will. It's talked about over in Peter as well, that God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. It's not God's will that anybody would die and be in a lost condition and be condemned to an eternal hell. That's not God's will. God's will is that all men would come to repentance and that we would all make it to heaven. That's His will. We need to understand that. And again, when we read His Word and we start making application of His Word to His life, we should never feel like it's just God wanting to be a dictator or be mean to us or keep us from being able to do the things we want to do. And two, when we come into situations that we don't really like in this life, whenever we're dealing with things that we just soon not have to deal with, we need to understand that God's hand is moving, it's working. That's not so easy, is it? I don't find it always easy to understand why it is God's will that things are the way that they are, why that things happen the way that they do, but I've got to believe that God is in control. Jesus, when He gave the example or model prayer, said, Heavenly Father, let Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, again, we need to model that in our prayers, and we need to duplicate that and say, you know, and we do oftentimes, we hear it said at the end of the prayer, let Your will be done in all things and not our own. That's turning it all over to God, isn't it? That's saying, God, I trust You, I'm dependent upon You, and I want Your will to be done in all things. I said a prayer at my brother's bedside the other day, tears flowing on the floor, and I said, Lord, Your will be done in all things. And we have to accept that, whatever it is. It's not always easy for us to understand. It's not always easy for us to accept, but we have to accept the Lord's will. James 4:15, it says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do we understand the significance of making that comment? Do you hear that being used very much? It seems like when I was younger, I heard this more by brethren in Christ. Whenever they were making plans to build a building or to build a house, they say, now tomorrow we're going to do this if it be the Lord's will. We've kind of lost that. But that's giving God the recognition and the understanding that we're not promised a tomorrow. None of us are promised a tomorrow. But if it be the Lord's will, we'll do these things that we desire to do. And we know the address here, this epistle, was because these people were saying, we're going to go into the city and we're going to buy and sell and make great, and we're going to make gain and we're going to do great things. Are you? Do you know that? Do you know that's the Lord's will? Are you even mindful of if it is the Lord's will or not? So we need to be mindful of the fact and need to be reminded. And again, there's a lot of biblical examples where people had ideals of what it was that their will was and what they wanted to do and how they wanted things to play out. And God intervened and He said, no, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be this way because this is My will. Think of the example of Pharaoh. Think of the example in the New Testament of the prodigal son. He took all his possessions, his inheritance. He spent it on righteous living. And he found himself down in the pen with the hogs, eating what the hogs wouldn't eat. And he came to himself. Was that the Lord's will that he find himself in that shape? It was, because it caused him to have a repentative attitude and say, you know, I can do better than this. I can do better than this in My Father's house. We as Christians sometimes have to be reminded, we can do better than this. We can do better if we listen to God's will. What about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? What happened there? Paul had his will, and God had His will. And God's will won out, didn't it? Because Paul was changed there. And God told him, He said, you're going to go to the Gentile nations. Paul was a Judaizing teacher. You know, the last person that probably had a desire to go preach and teach the Gentiles. Was there something in there that said God's will is going to happen when He wants it to happen, regardless of what it is that you want, Apostle Paul or Saul? Is there not something there telling us that God's will is going to be carried out and it's going to be accomplished? And again, things can change. Our lives can be rearranged. Things can happen that really rearrange our lives, and unexpected things can really turn our lives and our minds upside down. But what is accomplished through those things sometimes? What happens whenever that be the case? What happens when people don't want to accept God's will? And they fight against it, and they push back against it, just like little Caliber fighting against me because he feels like I'm trying to inflict my will upon him, and he don't want that. Sometimes he pulls back. He resists from that. Where do people find themselves that are trying to serve God, but they're fighting against the will of God? There's a lot of people this morning that will tell you that they're interested in serving God, and they're interested in doing the will of God, but their lives depict something different than that. And we need to understand as Christians, whenever we tell people that we're a Christian, then they're watching and they're curious about how we actually believe in doing the will of God. Do we follow it to the letter? What about Jesus Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus Christ was about doing his Heavenly Father's will, was he not? And he knew the pain, the anguish, and the suffering that was about to befall upon him and this cruel, humiliating death. And he didn't have funny feelings about that. He would have been just like you and I would be if we were told that that's the way we were going to die this afternoon. It would be the same, because this fleshly body feels pain. It feels nails going through its hands. It feels a crown of thorn. It feels beatings. And it feels a spear in the side, just like our fleshly body would. But notice that he surrendered his will, what he would like to happen, to his Heavenly Father's will. Do we do that as Christians? Do we understand the significance and the importance of being willing to say, "Father, you know, I may not want to do this, but I know that it's your will that I do this, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go do what your will is instead of mine." It's real easy to push God away and to pull back from him and not do those things that he would have you to be desirous of you to do. And we can do that, and people do it all the time. They do push back from the will of God. But God knows, and we usually know, if we're going against that which God would have us to do. You know, another biblical example was Abraham. Look at the things that he done that probably went against his will. We know they went against his will when he was going to offer up Isaac. That was against his will, but he was going to trust in God to know that that's what he needed to be doing. And the Bible clearly says it was accounted unto him, or accredited to him, that was righteousness. Why? Because he was doing God's will instead of his own will. So it will be with you and I in the judgment day. We need to understand that. We have a tendency in this life to put our faith in things that are safe, no risk. If you're looking at an investment option and they say, "Well, you have potential here making 35% on your money, but you also have a high percentage of losing all your money," you can put it over here and you're about guaranteed 5%, and you can't lose your principal. What are we going to do? Most all of us will go with the lower amount. We'll bet on something that has some low risk to it and a reasonable reward. And people have the tendency to put their faith and security in the things that they can lay up around them. People have the tendency to put their faith in self-serving ways of life, again, doing their will and not the will of the Heavenly Father. Where's that going to take us? Where's that going to lead us? You know, when I think about Abraham, I think of a person who has an attitude of "Thy will be done." Do we as Christians, just ask yourself that question this morning, do we have a similar attitude? Do we say always in what we're going to try to accomplish and do, "Thy will be done, Father," in these things that we're setting out to do? And again, that gives God, even if God's plan for us is exactly the same as our plan for us, it gives God the glory and the praise for those things that we accomplish. And God likes that, and he's deserving of that. And we need to be dependent upon God and his approval on the things that we're doing and the things that we're not doing. And again, whenever Abraham was told to go, even though he was in old age, he went up. He got up and went. In his physical mind and his way of reasoning, it was probably foolish what he was doing when he was told he was going to be given a son. That was something that they laughed about because of physical restrictions upon him. But it happened because, again, it was the will of God. And again, sometimes we get a lot of anxiety and we get a lot of nervousness about things that we feel like that are out of our control. And I think that's God saying to us, let me have the reins. Let me have control. Let me be in charge. Put your worries and your problems upon me and be dependent upon me. 2 Samuel 10:12, be of good courage, let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God, and may Jehovah do what is right, good in his sight. You know, I think there's an implication here that if we're strong for the Lord, if we're serving God and we're trying to do his will, that he's going to do what's right in his sight and what is best for us. And again, we may not always think that it's what's best for us. We may not be able to perceive it that way as being what's best for us. But God knows. God knows. 2 Samuel 15:26, Samuel says, but if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here I am, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. And again, that's laying it all on the Lord. That's not trying to pack it ourselves. That's not trying to carry it ourselves. I remember up at the hospital the other day, I was really getting frustrated because sometimes in a school of learning like UK Hospital, it seems like that the right hand don't know what the left hand's doing. And I know that you all have experienced that. And it's not just at UK. And I'm not downing them because they have all those students have to have a chance to learn. I'm thankful that they're there to learn to help forward generations of people. But sometimes you get that feeling, and I was so frustrated, and I was about to say some things to a nurse that I shouldn't, and I just had to pull back and say, you know, the Lord's in control of this whole situation. He's in control. And I've got to accept that. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's all-hearing, and he knows the situation that's at hand. And whenever I've done that, it kind of helped me to find a little bit of peace and resolve in the situation. And I know many of you all could share similar stories. Over in 1 Peter 4:19, here's another point about God's will. Whenever we suffer according to the will of God, and we will, if we walk the Christian walk, we will suffer just because we're a Christian. Because there will be those who will persecute us, there will be those who will make light of us, there will be those who see us stumble and fall and say, oh, you're just a hypocrite, you can't walk that Christian walk. You're no different than anybody else. There's going to be those. And whenever you try to walk the walk of a Christian soldier, there's going to always be those who try to find fault in you. It says there in 1 Peter 4:19, therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. That there's a lot in that. Number one, I've got to trust God that His will is going to be accomplished, and He is a righteous and a just God, so therefore I'm going to receive that which is right according to Him, not according to what somebody else thinks, not according to men pleasers, not according to my neighbors who think that I'm a poor excuse for a Christian, but I'm going to be judged according to what God says is right in those things that I do. And whenever I entrust that, whenever I get my hands around that, my mind around that, it makes life a lot easier to know in the judgment day we're going to stand before a righteous judge, one who is just in every way. He's not going to be manipulated. There's not going to be any negotiation there. And if you've got money, you can buy your way out of this situation. But it's going to be black and white, and our judgment will be just that way. And it'll be based upon how we've kept His will while we're up on this earth and accepted His will. And we can take pleasure in that. The scripture, the text there where that's found, it talks about There's no reward in suffering for wrongdoing. You know, if you go out here and you kill somebody and they put you in the pen for it, so be it. That's the way that it should be. The point is whenever you suffer for the cause of doing what's right, whenever you suffer for Christianity, whenever you're going through those trials of life and someone hears you say, the Lord's will be done in all things, it exalts God, does it not? It makes Him be in control, and that's what people need to see and they need to understand. You know, again, thy will be done. It's easy for us to say that, but it's not hardly as easy for us to always live it. We'll not even question God. You know, again, if we're saying, God, we want your will to be done, and we accept your will, whatever that is, we're not going to question Him. We're not going to say, like I had the question earlier about the fellow that's still walking up and down the road. And again, that wasn't as much directed towards God. It's just a kind of a conundrum that you roll around in your mind. You know, and Chris touched on the idea a while ago. If a Christian dies and goes home to be with the Lord, that's one thing. But if the fellow that's never acknowledged that there's a God in heaven, a fellow that's never accepted the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that was shown there, and he dies, that's altogether something else. And we can take great comfort and consolation in that. And maybe God's giving that fellow that's walking up and down the road and doing drugs and doing all these things that are wicked according to the Scriptures, maybe he's giving him time to find him so that when he comes, he can have that eternal abode in heaven as well. And again, will does not worry about any guarantees and has faith in God's judgment. And again, whenever we say, thy will be done, these are things that we need to factor in. No matter where I am, no matter who I am, no matter what happens in life, no matter what people do, no matter how I feel, thy will be done. And again, I'm not saying that I've got that mastered, but I do believe it's what God would like for me to do, and I do believe it's something that I should be working to apprehend as well as you all here this morning, is to say it makes life a little bit less stressful whenever we put it upon God. And I just ask you this morning to consider, have you accepted the Lord's will as far as the plan of salvation? Do you understand that? Again, their Bibles is full of examples of people who resisted God, who pushed back from God, who didn't want nothing to do with God's will. Some of them were eventually converted. Some of them never were converted that we know of. You know, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost don't cut it, does it? Doesn't count unless it's horseshoes. Almost is doing my will instead of God's will. Each and every day we get to make the decisions whether we're going to do God's will or whether we're going to do our wills. For some people, that's a constant struggle and it's a constant battle. For others, they have resolved in their mind that they're going to keep the Lord's will and they're going to do that. And it's not such a hectic day. It's not so hard. And we need to be as His people. We need to understand that's what He expects of us. God's simple steps for salvation, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Hebrews 11:6. I can't quote that one. I'll turn over there. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Over in Luke 13:3, there Jesus speaking says, nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 2:38 is quoted thousands of times. Whenever the question was asked, what must we do to be saved? The response was, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Must be a confession. Matthew 10:32 says, he that denieth me before men, I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. And he that acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father which is in heaven. And again, to be baptized, we must be buried in the water of the baptism and to be raised up to walk in newness of life. Found again in Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. And then we must have a desire to live a faithful life from that point forward. It's not enough just to get saved. We must always be working to accomplish and do the will of our Heavenly Father if we want to have that eternal abode when this short life is over. If you're here this morning, you're subject to Heaven's invitation. Anyway, we'd ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.